This is the Pharmaceutical Soccer Podcast.
Go!
A soccer show by supporters for supporters.
What deal have they struck with the soccer gods?
Breaking down the latest on the boys in gold and the soccer world.
You could not write a script like this.
On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Pharmaceutical Soccer right here on 102.5 The Game, your Nashville SC home, family, pharmacy. Yeah, one of those. I don't care. Look, I'm in a happy mood. We got to experience our first ever home opener at Geodis Park. What a day. What a night, because I was partying until a very long time on Sunday. I should have took Monday off, but I did not. My friends,
how did any of you guys have energy after the game?
Oh, I didn't. I had zero energy, okay. Sir. But I ended up riding a bull after the game, a mechanical bull. Yeah, it was a weird night. Not going to deny.
No, I didn't do anything after the game. I tried. I really did, because I walked to world famous Santa's Pub and had a single drink there and said, nope, there's no way I will not fall asleep here in the next hour. So I just went home after that.
Well, I'm proud you guys have your voices, though. Like, nobody's voices are just completely out. I did expect a little bit more of y'all to be, like, dead and raspy when it comes to the voice.
I was definitely a little raspy this morning. My post game was basically go getting pizza and ice cream and going home. But this morning I definitely have the post the day after like match soreness that I would presume is a lot worse with you guys, because I have seats instead of in the standing section, and I definitely utilize those seats for good chunks of the game. But I'm hurting today, let me tell you.
Yeah, my muscles are a little just kind of exhausted right now. Like, I swear it's just the lighting in this room or like what my computer does, but I was in the sun for about 75 minutes and it was brutally hot at points where I look like a tomato again. I don't feel like a tomato, but I look like a tomato. That march also did not help with exhaustion levels, as you're just climbing up a hill to march. Like, while singing at the same time. This is why I didn't want to do a march in the first place.
Hill goes from all right, whatever, to oh man, like real quick.
It's like a last minute, okay, you get the satisfaction of going up a hill. Okay, not bad. Oh, guess what? You don't know what's about to come.
yeah. Hey, fortunately, that's the side of the supporters' gate. You don't have the stairs.
Right.
But it was giving me this is a bit of a throwback. It was giving me real Real Salt Lake vibes. And that staircase outside of Rio Tinto Stadium that was like 1,000 stairs.
For our listeners who are familiar with Middle Tennessee State University, Murphy Center steps, but like add a little bit more steepness to it.
That's
how I felt.
But look, we were all three of us were at Geodis Park yesterday for the 1-1 draw against Philadelphia Union. How are you guys feeling just when it comes to just overall being able to have a home, more or less? Like, it was very much just like a welcome home, you know, type of party. It felt like a great event. We'll talk more about the specific things about the stadium here in a little bit, but like, just overall, how are you feeling?
Well, I'm feeling great, but something that was really cool about like the match day in general, and you know, I was excited about it all day. I had to drive up from Atlanta in the morning. So unfortunately I couldn't watch Everton beat Chelsea at Goodison for the fourth straight time.
Hey, I watched that.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to experience that, but I was looking forward to this experience all day. Now, I have a question, because it's related to this. Steven, have you been to – I genuinely don't know the answer to this. Have you been to a game in England before?
Yeah, I've been to Stamford Bridge before.
Okay, that's what I thought. So all of us have gone to a game in England, and one of the striking things about all of the parks that we see in England is they're basically in neighborhoods. There may be developed parts of it on one side of the stadium or whatever, but they're largely in neighborhoods. And so one of the first things that hit me, and I was in the car with my girlfriend and someone else, like driving to the city, is a mile and a half out, all you could see was people walking through the neighborhoods wearing Nashville SC gear, which is something that we'd never experienced, like genuinely never experienced as fans. And like, part of that's because parking's not the greatest situation in the world, although it's not too bad. I didn't hear a ton of real issues that people were expecting. But like, it was really cool for me because when they played at Nissan, everyone just parked at Nissan and you were just kind of there and then you were there, you know what I mean? Like, and when they were at, when they're at First Tennessee, same sort of thing. There's a lot of parking right there, but also it's a much smaller crowd. But I'm telling you, when we got on 8th, like I said, more than a mile away from the stadium, all you could see in every direction was people wearing NSC stuff walking around. And post-game, driving through the neighborhoods, 45 minutes, hour after the game ended, just pockets of people all leaving Geodis Park. And it's a really weird thing, like, to notice, but it made it feel more like home to me because then it felt like, okay, this is where this team is. Like, it feels like a community club. Now, part of it is because there's not enough built up around it. Part of it is there's not enough park, but it feels like this is the reason so many people are here. And that's a really different feeling for going to a Nashville SC match.
It is amazing because that feeling of like, I don't know what it is, but I think it's finally like, people in this town are finally like embracing this team a little bit more. At least it feels like it to me. I mean, as soon as I called my Uber yesterday to go to the game, by the way, I did that at like 10:30 in the morning. So, cause I was tailgating. So it wasn't like during game time or anything, but like the Uber immediately said, oh, soccer game. Yeah. I was like, yes, immediately. Like first thing he said to me, We get there. Obviously, everybody there knows about soccer. Today, I went to pick up my food, like just picking up lunch. like I'm at Panera Bread picking up lunch, and the guy who brings me out my food, he's like, oh, he sees my sticker in the car and goes, were you there yesterday? And I'm like, yeah. And me and him have almost a 10-minute conversation about the team and about the game. And I'm like, okay, this is a little different because now I think it's being recognized on levels where and Tom Bogert wrote a story on MLSsoccer.com about his experience here in Nashville. And one of the things was like every bar I went to and every sort of before the game, everything I did before the game had Nashville SC fans there. And I just didn't know we were at that level yet as a city.
Yeah, well, this was the first time where we really got that pre-match build, not just from like the club, because the club's always going to have a lot of stuff going on, but this felt like a multimedia across everything in the city pre-match build to something. So back in the early days, like Court Jeske, you know, RIP, in terms of being part of the Nashville
office.
He's now with USL. He's you know, he's a very accomplished person. But anyway, he always talked about when we would have meetings with the trust or with the supporters groups about creating water cooler moments. And Nashville is now doing that consistently. Like, I've had 5 different people with me, like that I work with, bring it up to me. Today it's like, oh, I know you were there, how was it, like I associate this team with you, you know, like these are the things that are starting to happen regularly. And it's really part of that is having a good team, part of that is having a stadium, part of that is creating a media narrative around the team. And you know, we've had our issues and on that front in the past, but like that exists now. Like, people have to go and pay attention to this team because there's demand for it.
Well, and I even think, like, I just want to kind of like reiterate kind of both of your points. Like, Valair, you literally walked to a bar, or I mean, this is kind of Clay's point about the neighborhood. Valair walked to a bar after the game that was right next door. Like, that's what we have the ability to do within this neighborhood. And that is super cool. And we get to really like frequent these establishments. And then my ADHD took me away from the last point, because I had it and then I lost it. So
no, you're right. I mean, after the game, when I went to Santa's, everybody there was at the game.
Right.
Every single person at Santa's Pub was at the game. And every person walking around, biking around, or driving around was from the game. And that's almost over an hour after the final whistle.
I remember my point. Sorry, Clay. I apologize. I remember my point. You know, when it comes to you talking about now the club really getting behind and kind of creating these water cooler moments, what have you. So I was driving home the other day. It was actually last night. I was driving home last night to go hang out near my house. The billboard sign that I saw for the season opener that was on Harding Place right there, it immediately had the Salt Lake game on it in the same billboard. Like, they're trying to create these moments and create this consistency that, hey, this team is here to stay. Now that there's a stadium, it 100% is.
Well, and I think that is honestly a big part of why they're breaking through into these other things, is there's a sense of permanence now. Like, right. Everyone knew the stadium was going to get built. No one's worried about the lasting relationship here of Nashville SC, but there are definitely people in this city that just never believed it would reach this day, even as it was reaching this day. Right. And so now there's a sense of permanence. The stadium's great. All the local media is covering it. National media is in town. It's almost unfortunate that Seattle is playing a huge game on Wednesday. So there's a lot of national MLS media that wasn't here because they're setting up in Seattle for a Champions League final. But other than that, like, it was just really cool to be in the moment. And for Nashville, once again, as Nashville frequently does, whether it's football, our football, or hockey, answers the big moment in a big way. And man, it was just awesome. And we'll talk about it a whole lot more later.
But yeah, we're going to talk a lot more. We're going to talk a lot more about the Tennessee Titans soccer stadium here in a little bit. and then we'll talk about the actual game, which I'm glad we're talking about the stadium, because I'm going to get upset about talking about the game specifically.
Shouts to Persons Magazine.
Thank you, Persons Magazine. Appreciate it. We'll talk about the stadium next, right here on 102.5 The Game. And we are back right here on 102.5 The Game, Pharmaceutical Soccer, at Pharma Soccer on our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And of course, you can check us out on the Patreon, where you get a lot of fun discussions. We're talking about the match and everything on the Patreon as well. But let's talk about just kind of the event in the stadium itself, because I think that's something to highlight before we talk about the actual run of play. This is something that we've been waiting for a very long time. We kind of expected it not to be perfect. But it didn't really, I don't know, like, there wasn't as many mistakes, it seemed like to me, as I thought was going to happen, if that makes sense.
There's a patient out there who said it was the worst Breland concert ever. So pour a little out for Breland.
Oh, yeah. Besides that.
And no disrespect to him, but obviously he's not the headliner in that. Stephen, I think you're completely right, and I don't know if it's because I assumed it's gonna be bad or not bad, but like, I don't know. I think I assumed, because of the negativity that came through with some of this stuff earlier last month, I think I assumed some stuff would be a little bit less developed. So I think that kind of added to my experience, or that took away a little bit from my experience. But as soon as I got there, and as soon as I started tailgating and even getting to the game, I mean, everything was so much better than I thought it was going to be. And even leaving the stadium, getting, you know, ride share, all that stuff, all of that was so much smoother than I anticipated being.
Yeah, I think the ingress egress stuff was really a lot better than I thought. Like, my trip back home on I-24 at like 9 o'clock at night was way worse than me like trying to leave the stadium. But the one thing that I think is really interesting, and I think it speaks to something that we've stressed on here before, the NSC Facebook groups are not real life. NSC Twitter in large parts are not real life. A lot of people are mostly very positive and very excited about things. Like, I think we can kind of get caught up in bubbles. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting, this was in Steve Cavendish's story from the Nashville Scene. He was talking about a guy stuck in a long line. I think it was to go into the team store. I know that that line was really long when I walked by it. And the guy in line was like grinning. He was just like, it's a long line, but like, while we're happy, we're here. Like, I think there was a general understanding from most people that there are going to be some growing pains. And I think that a lot of folks involved with NSC, whether they be officially or through unofficial, like supporters group channels and whatnot, have kind of stressed, hey, like, this is our home. If things aren't perfect now, they may not be perfect a month from now, but this will be our home for decades potentially. And like, it's going to get there. I mean, I went to a pizza concession stand that had no pizza. Like, these are the things that are going to happen,
right?
As they get used to filtering fans through. And I do think there are a couple of communication things that they can work on inside the stadium, but generally speaking, I was expecting a nightmare in certain places around that, especially around directing traffic. And everyone was really proactive. Everyone was really proactive in the stadium. It couldn't have gone smoother. And I do not mean this as a mark against Nissan, although it'll be interpreted that way. The folks that we've dealt with at Nissan in the past could have never pulled off what the folks at Geodis Park pulled off on Sunday. I'm just saying, yeah, they're paying them all well, but that's how that's gonna be sound like a terrible shot at Nissan, and in some ways I guess it could be, but that's just a testament to how good a job that the folks from Geodis Park did, all everything included.
And I think availability too, like just the fact that there were a lot of them available.
Because,
you know, there was never a time where I looked around and I couldn't find somebody to help me with something. You know what I mean? And that's something I don't think was available for us at Nissan. It seemed like it was always bare minimum type of thing.
Like, I was prepared to be there for a very long time. Like, I was prepared, like, I'm not going to get out of this parking lot for a very long time. It's going to stink. But, like, I then look back 15 minutes later, I couldn't even finish a post-game beer because everybody was gone. And I was... like, it's weird because I think the small mistakes for me, like, there wasn't, I mean, look, if you play We Ready again before a match, I am boycotting this team. Do not do that. Please, for the love of God, do not do that. But, like, that's the minuscule stuff that I think it's just kind of growing pains.
They did, RIP RT Eversole. Anyway, so shouts to Steven's phone going off. One of the things that I thought was really interesting on the, one of the things that really caught me off guard on the ingress egress stuff was, like, I picked up somebody outside of outside of Zany's.
Yeah.
And it took me, and I wasn't there as early as you guys. I got there around 1 when the gates were opening, and it still only took me about 10 minutes to get from Zany's through the traffic to get to my parking spot, which is just an insane level of efficiency that we haven't seen from Nashville for a lot of events. Everyone was so aware of the concerns around parking and traffic that they did everything they could to assuage those concerns.
Yeah. And shout out to local media to the lead up of this, by the way. I think local media did a really good job of trying to be like, hey, it's going to be okay. Just get there early, prepare for what's about to happen so you can actually go and enjoy the event, which, let's talk about that. When it comes to actual, like, favorite moments for you guys in the stadium itself, let's each just, like, pick, like, one. And if we have more time, we can go through other ones. Clay, your favorite moment, like, or favorite thing about the stadium itself, go.
Well, I mean, it's the obvious one, really. I mean, there's not a single bad seat. And that is the part where I hadn't seen my seat yet because my seat was in the second level. And I hadn't been able to go in. And walking, you know, one of those things that people talk about, especially, like, when folks go overseas to their favorite club or folks go to their favorite baseball team, is that look through the tunnel when you see what you're going to, like, when you see it the first time. And I'd kind of seen the stadium before, but I had a really good time watching people come up to the section of 206 and getting that first view from 206. Mm-hmm. And it was that I spent 10 minutes just watching people see the field for the first time up there, which was just great. And I think I knew it was going to be good. I knew that I had a good vantage point. I still wasn't prepared for how enjoyable it was going to be from my vantage point. I know that you guys have a different look. Steven can't even watch the game, which is probably explains some of his analysis sometimes. But the way that my feeling, like when I sat down and got to see things, it seemed so basic. It seemed so easy to pick out. That was the one that really struck me.
Steven, I'm gonna let you go because I feel like if I say mine, it might be yours as well. So I'm gonna give it to you first.
I was gonna go different with mine because I thought you were going to take mine.
Okay, go with your first choice. Go with your first choice.
Totes adorbs, guys.
Thank you very much. I mean, atmosphere. 100% the atmosphere in the stadium was insane. Like we've been to multiple games. We've been to US games. We've been to different stadiums. We've been to all of these different types of events. We've been to other stadium openings before. Nothing compared to what was brought yesterday when it came to the crowd getting into it, when it came to, the way people were responding to this team. The atmosphere itself was absolutely insane. And everybody was following along with the chants. Even if you weren't singing, you were clapping, even though it was hot, even though something, my capo, shout out to Abel, who's about to pass out up there on the stand. Everybody was still there and still involved in embracing this team. And yeah, I mean, atmosphere number one, the sound in there, just incredible.
Yeah, and to be even more specific, the moment I was going to pick specifically was that first Koi Big or Come On You Boys in Gold. I don't think it hit me until then. And because I had seen the stadium the day before. We were helping out with the TIFO and other situations. So like, I already got that awe of, like, the pitch is looking nice, everything, and the seats are great. But, man, when I heard the noise, I was just like insane. I was like, this is crazy. But since we're talking about the stadium specifically and like physically what it is, the bathrooms, man. The bathrooms by the support section got like 40.
Yes.
Hey, shout out to whoever made that decision. And apparently the women's bathroom got 40 stalls as well. Shout out to that person. Whoever said, let's make the supporter section bathrooms the biggest ones, shout out to them.
So I was at the game with two women, and they came back and said there was a big line for the men's bathroom and not one for the women's bathroom, and it never works that way. And they're like, yeah.
But even the men's line, like, it was going so quick because there are so many opportunities to go.
There's a lot more that we're gonna continue to talk about the stadium, but that we're gonna have to take to the podcast. So make sure if you want to listen to that conversation, be sure to go check out the added podcast that we're going to have for the added allotment of time. Here on 102.5 The Game, we're going to talk about the actual game. So be prepared for that right here next on 102.5 The Game.
And welcome back to Pharmaceutical Soccer on 102.5 The Game. Clay Traynor once again joined by Steven Robinson and Valer Shabilla. Don't forget to check out Pharma Soccer on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Guys, let's talk about the actual game.
Why did you do that?
It got interrupted like Gary Smith was getting interrupted on the broadcast when multiple F-bombs were being dropped. Did anybody watch the game back on the actual broadcast itself?
Not with the sound on.
Oh, God. What happened? It was really funny. There was a couple Gary Smith put the field mic a little too close to Gary Smith, to say the least, on it.
Love to see it.
But let's talk about the actual performance here and the game itself. 1-1 draw to Philadelphia Union. Philly scores one early in the second half, I believe. that their goal goes. And then Nashville gets a clear handball penalty at the end of the game, end of the match, with a Randall Leal penalty that was phenomenal, by the way, phenomenal penalty, to then get the 1-1 draw at home, Geodis Park. I'm going to let you guys go first because I think I'm a little bit more pessimistic now after this game.
I don't have any reason to be pessimistic. If it was anybody other than Andre Blake in that goal, Nashville's having a heck of a celebration today. There's a reason he's one of the best goalkeepers in the league. I think that first half is the best attacking display that we've seen from Nashville in a few weeks, at least, and one of the best attacking displays of the season. A lot of really good chances in that first half. A few very, very, very good saves for Andre Blake. I do think Philly had a really good shot to get a goal in towards the end of the half. And maybe Nashville was a little lucky to not be down a goal at halftime. And on the whole, I think that it's a very reasonable 1-1 draw. I think both teams can feel like they probably left something on the field. And in that case, it kind of makes sense to split the points. Philly is one of the best teams in the league. They're going to be one of the favorites the whole way through, just like they were last year. I don't have too many complaints. I do have a complaint about a few individual players, but for the most part, that performance was about what I expected, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, when you play the best team in MLS, and I know you're playing a home game, I think there is an argument to be made that the occasion might have gotten to the players a little bit.
First 15 minutes felt like a playoff game. It was insane.
Right, right. And I mean, you appreciate that, obviously. I mean, as a fan, I want my team to understand the magnitude of this occasion. But at the same time, I think it got the best of them, and especially after the goal that Philly scored. I mean, we had a lot of yellow cards that just could have been avoidable. And I know people are going to complain about the ref and everything, but also some of those were very deserved for Nashville players. Where the other part of that is that the Union players were making the most out of them falling down. And that is a strategic gamesmanship because they wanted to slow the rhythm of the game because of how fast and how adamant Nashville was on attacking.
I think the way the Union played was a testament to how good this Nashville team is. That Union team is supposed to be one of the best in the league, and they were doing everything they could to slow it down, to try and break up play. I will say that there are a few Union players that have some of the most inexplicable non-yellows I've ever seen in my life. The one on Dave Romney was particularly impressive to not get a yellow for, but I think there's also a few Nashville players that maybe on a different day with a different ref may have not finished the game. And so it's hard for me to get too worked up in one way or another. I think a 1-1 draw is probably fair. I think that 1-1 draw is a good result with Philly. You want to win your home games, but Nashville's banked a few of those road wins. And the reason you bank those road wins and you feel good about them is because it gives you a little bit more leeway when you're playing at home. So that's a good result. I wish I would have seen a win. I could have seen a win on another day. On another day, I could have seen a loss. It's hard to get too worked up.
I am getting, and I get it. I get the offensive chances in the first half. I think it's something, a testament where, like, if it wasn't Andre Blake, we probably would have had maybe two or three goals. Like, Dax's goal, if, like, off the get-go, would have been incredible. You know, Alex Moyle catching an unlucky break as well, hitting the crossbar. The end game management for this team is really starting to frustrate me in, like, to a bad point. It is 80 something degrees out on that field, extremely hot. You're telling me that there was nobody else that you could put out there besides CJ Sapong playing 90 minutes? That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. I don't understand. Like, he became a non-factor in many points, but, like, I don't expect CJ to go 90 minutes. I know Teal is injured, but there's no formation change or anything you can do to get exciting players out there.
I still think CJ was doing all right considering the circumstances. I think that if there was someone like Daniel Rios on the bench, maybe we would have seen him. But like, there wasn't really a like for like replacement for CJ, and CJ was still getting some things going. I will say this. It's the we finally got a chance to see Ake Lopa for more than 5 minutes. Unfortunately, it took giving up a goal for that to happen. Ake had a couple of moments. Like, it's that classic Ake thing, right? Like, he makes a couple of plays and you're like, no one else on this team could have done what he just did. And then he just doesn't follow it up. And that's the part that is the most frustrating thing, because the good Nashville chances that happened in the last 25 minutes of that game, Ake Lopa was part of a lot of them.
Yeah, for sure.
And it is one of those things. It is so frustrating, because you thought when he scored the goal at Cincinnati, that would be the thing that unlocked him and that would get him going. But there was like a turn that he made late in the game, just an unbelievable turn, gets upfield, finds space, and then it just falls apart. He's not quite quick enough to pull off some of these things. And part of that is Philly. Philly knows what they're doing. Philly's a good team. If he's playing Cincinnati, maybe it's a little different. If he's playing Miami, maybe it's a little different. Although those two teams are playing a little better than they usually do. But like, these are the things that are frustrating about him. And that's why I think it's too early to hit the panic button. It took Mahani Mukhtar a year. Ake hasn't even been here a year yet. But it's one of those things where it's like, at a certain point, buddy, like, you're the most expensive acquisition in this team's history. You're playing in the stadium opening game. This is the moment that you're paid for, you know?
Right.
And that's the part that's frustrating.
But that's the thing that you made the Hani and Ake comparison, is that Hani played. Hani also missed chances yesterday.
But Hani played, but he sort of also didn't, because he only played half of that year because he got hurt so often.
But like, it's one of the things, like, we're sitting there expecting Ake to literally bury or make every single chance that he has. The amount of pressure that has to put on somebody playing that doesn't necessarily know, like, that is out of position. In all honesty, he's been playing out of position. I saw him making a bunch of darting runs where if he was found, he would have been open. There was a couple where he just wasn't found. What is he supposed to do in that standpoint? He made the one turn. The pass to Hani and CJ after that brilliant turn you're talking about was gorgeous. It was right in Hani and CJ's on their feet. It was on their feet.
I mean, you can find a video of that on my Twitter, @ValerSchevilla@twitter.com or whatever. But I do agree with you that he is doing his best with his minutes. He did his best with his minutes this game. But generally, this season, when Ake Lopa gets on, he adds nothing to the team. 0%. And I don't mean that to... I know he gets on in the last 5 minutes and it's hard to prove something. I get that. But until this game on Sunday at Geodis Park, Ake Lopa had added nothing with his minutes. Has done nothing with his minutes.
And that's the best he's looked since last year.
And yeah,
he didn't look great last year.
And I get that. And I'm hoping that he does like one of the Open Cup runs, that he is starting during one of those Open Cup runs. If he's not starting during the Open Cup match, I think it's completely unfair to him to not get that opportunity. Other thing frustrates me about endgame management. We only made two subs that match. First of all, ridiculous. We should have been making more. Second of all, why the hell was Brian Anunga the sub when you are looking for a win? You take out Randall Leal for Brian Anunga?
Well, okay, hold on. Okay. I am totally with Gary on this one. Let me tell you why. Gary took out... Gary brought in Ake Lopa for Sean Davis. Okay? Think about that. Ake Lopa came in for Sean Davis, changed the entire system to be more attacking. Gary gambled with another attacker by taking one of the most trusted midfielders out and gambled with another attacker. Once we get that first goal, it's 1-1. You can't continue to do that chaos system for much longer. Randall Leal playing a 6 is not how you continue to win games or even continue to keep your tie. Randall Leal should not be playing a 6. And the only other 6 on the bench available was Brian Anunga. And right. Valgadoy was not available. So,
here's the thing. Then maybe it is personnel, but like, I still think like, okay, you have Hockenson on the bench who has energy and
can't play a 6. Hockenson's a winger.
But you also don't have just 2 subs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can bring in other people too.
Yeah. Heck, You could have brought in Handball of Buana or somebody, moved Mouil to the center mid because he's shown that he can play the six, and Mouil had a terrific game where we could also push up. Like, this is the thing I don't necessarily understand when it comes to the personnel that we have. The CJ thing, for example, is that Ethan Zubak really not that good where he can't come in for he's 2 minutes and give you a little bit of energy? I don't know.
So here's the thing. I don't totally disagree with bringing in Anunga. I'm kind of fine with it for the reason that Valer said. That being said, when the game finishes and you're depending on Brian Anunga on your last position, on your last possession of the game to be creative on the right side of the field, that's a problem. Like when Hani passes it to Anunga and Anunga sits there and tries to get past his guy, then turns around, passes it back, and they blow the whistle. That's not a good way to go about things. And that's where you're sitting there wondering, like, what did Nashville leave points on the field late in the game when they were attacking by not bringing on someone in addition to Anunga? Like I said, I understand you get the, it's a good, a draw is a good result. I totally understand sitting there and saying, okay, we need to see this out to make sure we don't lose to Philly and we don't blow, you know, what would be a great opening game. But like, there are more than two subs that you can make. And it is a hot, it was the hot day. It's going to be a lot hotter in a month's time. And do I think that this game would play out the same way in 2 weeks' time when there's going to be two games in a week? I don't. But it was weird to not see anyone coming in with Anunga. You know what I mean? To take an attacking player off, bring in a defensive player, and not bring in some fresh legs or somebody who could maybe help unlock Philly and get that deciding goal to make this a perfect opening game as opposed to a really, really good open.
Last segment of the show right here next. I want to survive the game. We are back right here on 102.5 The Game, Pharmaceutical Soccer, last segment of the show, at PharmaSoccer on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And you can also check out our Patreon, which we do a lot of fun stuff on, and it supports the show because we like the show to be supported. So you can go there, check it out. Thank you to our patrons already. I calmed down. I'm good. Not as excited as I was. Look, calm down. Took a few seconds to calm down. Look, we go again on Sunday. We play Salt Lake on Sunday. Anything else that we need to talk about before we do preview Salt Lake? Anything else going on? No?
Salt Lake's last win before this weekend was against Nashville SC.
Thank you, Clay.
But also this week, if you're listening on Monday or any of the following days of this week, the tickets for the Open Cup game are going to go on sale. Let's make the third ever game at Geodis Park a really fun one, even though it's Open Cup and it's Atlanta. Personally, I'm going to not sit in my usual seats because premium seats are only $60, and I'm going to go act all bougie in the premium section. So if you would like to join me there, feel free to do so. Otherwise, please buy your tickets for Open Cup. They are not included in your season tickets if you are a season ticket holder. That's a PSA for you.
Wow. Thank you, Blair.
Now we can go to RSL. Clay, what were you saying about them? They haven't won in a minute.
They beat LA. They beat LA on Saturday. But prior to that, they hadn't won since beating Nashville on March 19th in a very memorable game where Nashville played great. Dax McCarty got sent off and the Boys in Gold lost 2-1. They lost to the Northern Colorado Hailstorm, who had only played like one league game at that point in their existence before beating RSL. And they lost 6-0 to New York City earlier in April. So hard one to call, really.
But now that you LA. Say that, welcome to being a Nashville SC fan, yeah. Where it's going to be a very tight-knit draw, hopefully, because, I don't know, so I knew that the deal went through last week where they reacquired Jefferson Savarino from Atletico Mineiro, their new DP, $2.5 million signing. Is he going to be available on Sunday? I would assume yes.
Yeah, I mean, it was within the MLS trade window, or the MLS registration window, so I would assume so. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's one of those things where we've never beaten Salt Lake. Still have yet to beat Salt Lake. I know we've only played them twice, but we have yet to beat Salt Lake. you know, it is the second game in our new stadium. Maybe it is something to do with, hey, we've now got over the, you know, the hump of the, you know, the event and everything, and now we're coming to, you know, the second game of at home. I don't know.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, this is the first repeat game of this season. Just something I think the boys in gold are going to remember when they are on the field there playing that game. And I think if I remember correctly, it wasn't the nicest game between these two teams. There's a lot of chippiness, and I think both teams are going to remember that. Players don't forget that stuff. You always see it come up. There's a reason Dax McCarty and NYCFC players didn't get along. There is a reason for that. Anyway, with all that being said, they have been just wildly inconsistent with their results. I mean, they beat Seattle, they beat LA Galaxy, they beat Nashville, but this is the same team that lost to SKC, who are not good this season. They also tied with lost to NYCFC, like Clay said, 6-0. They tied with Portland last week. Portland's not good either this year. So, I don't know. It's all over the place. I'm just happy to see Justin Merrum in Nashville for the first time ever. So, there you go.
Here's some really hard-hitting analysis. In 2018, Nashville's second-ever game at First Tennessee Park in USL, they played defending champion Louisville City on Mother's Day, and Lebo Moloto scored twice as Nashville won 2-0. And so maybe there's something about the old boys in gold on Mother's Day. I'm just saying, just throwing it out there. So I feel good.
On that Mother's Day game, I got so sunburned, I thought I was going to die.
I'm happy you survived, Valer. We all are. Steven, maybe not so much, but Steven's a bad person. So
that's just rude, man.
I love you, Steven.
Rude.
Is it time for predictions?
Yeah, let's plug predicts. What do you guys got? Let's do this.
Well, obviously, Ake Lobo hat trick. I'm going to go with, first off, Nashville Soccer Archive, where I just told you about that 2018 game. You can go to NashvilleSoccerArchive.com, at Clay Lussell on Twitter. And I'm going to go with 3-1 to the boys in gold. Hani Mukhtar off a free kick, and then goals from Randall Leal and Dave Romney.
Okay, for me, I'm going to plug two things this time. And just because I know recently we've picked up some new listeners, and I'm very, very happy that our numbers are looking better, but also people are coming up to us and talking to us about this show. So thank you so much for those of you who have listened. But special thanks to people on our Patreon. Guys, it really means everything to us when people are supporting us financially. And it's only $5. And I know the content you're getting, maybe it's not, you know, we don't get much more with Patreon, but what you get is the ability to support us financially, which is something that helps us keep the lights on here in our show and keeps this supporters show led by supporters and controlled by supporters. And you get a say on what goes on in our show. So thank you to those of you who already support us. And if you're thinking about it, or if you just started listening to this show and you think these guys deserve $5 a month, hey, throw that $5 to us. It's really going to mean so much to us, and it's going to help us keep this show going and do cool things for y'all. And second of all, I'm going to ask you for more money for Kicking It 615. That's a much better cost, to be honest, but you know, you can do both if you want to. But at Kicking It 615 and KI615.org. Prediction-wise, 3-1 Nashville, one goal by Justin Merom and a hat trick by Hani Mukhtar, because I don't know why not.
Why not, indeed. Yeah, just to re-up on what Valera is saying, like, we really appreciate supporting the show just because, and we really like when people do coming up and like supporting the show, what have you, just because of the facts, by the way, that Clay and Valera are really good at ripping on me does not mean you can use the inside jokes that they talk about on the show to then rip me outside in public. Doesn't work that way. I know it's easy. I really know it's easy, but stop it. Stop doing this to me. I can only take so much rejection.
Do it and let me know you did it at Clay Last Soul on Twitter.
Absurd. But look, at PhDH8, oh my God, at PhDSteven8.
At clubcountryusa.com. Shout out to Tim Sullivan.
I hate everything. Shout out Tim Sullivan, producer Lily. We miss you. Look, 2-1 Nashville. It's going to be closer than we expect. Ake Loba is going to get a goal. And so will Dave Romney. Those are my two goals. Thank you so much again for listening to the show. Like Flair was talking about, we really appreciate the support. Be sure to check us out on our socials at PharmaSoccer on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And we will see you next week after the game to talk about our second ever home match at Joe's Park. So appreciate you listening again, and we'll talk to you later.
Pharma boys, we are here. Whoa, whoa.
Pharma boys, we are here. Whoa, whoa. Pharma boys, we are here.
Boom, boom. Sing for you and drink root beer. Whoa. Whoa.
This is going to be the outro. No music this time.